You that have been in my revival services know Brother Scott came several times last night about the service. I'm going to tell you, we never need to apologize ever when the Holy Spirit takes over. Never. These services are not mine, and they're not yours, and they're not someone else's. They belong to God. And the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes than we can do all week long if we'll just allow Him to have liberty. We're not here to lift up personality. This is what we've messed up in for years. We plan a service with a personality, and that personality doesn't get lifted up. So many times we get worried about it. Let me tell you, there's only one personality that needs to be lifted up. His name is Jesus. He paid the price. He done it all. Glory. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God forevermore. I'm not going to preach to you this week like your little kids, because you're not children. You're at an age right now that you are now at a crossroads of great decision. If you have your Bibles tonight and you would like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I want you young people to listen to me tonight closely. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, or you could say when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Very simple subject tonight. This says a time of decision. This is one of the greatest times in your life. One of the greatest times of opportunity right now. Your whole life is before you. And yet it is also one of the most distressing times that you'll ever go through. In fact, most of us that are pastors say, my, I'm glad that I'm not a teenager anymore. Not that it's bad to be a teenager, but you see, you're no longer a child in the eyes of many. We like to hold on to it. It's convenient to be a child when we want to be excused as a child, or when we activate ourselves in childish things, or when we speak in a childish way. We like to say, oh, but I'm just young. But you see, teenagers and you that are in your life right now in this lifespan, it's now putting away childish things. Not thinking like a child, or you want to be treated like an adult, and you want to look like an adult, and you want to act like an adult, you want to date like an adult, and you want to make decisions like an adult. And therefore the Lord your God, just as the Holy Ghost just spoke and said, is searching for you, calling you as it were even by name, and telling you it is time to decide what you're really going to do in your Christian experience. You see, you from this point in your life make a lot of decisions. And you say, oh good, I get to decide now what I'm going to do. And you'll also be responsible for them. It's more than just what clothing you're going to wear now, girls. It's more than just how you're going to fix your hair. More to it than just seeing who's going to be your boyfriend and girlfriend. We're now come into a place before an holy altar of God, and the Holy Spirit says, I've looked for you and I've searched for you. And if God be God, then why not serve Him? We want to be so grown up and so adult, and yet we want to go our own way. We want to do what we want to do. We want to act like we want to act and speak like we want to speak. And the thing that concerns me even about services like this, after the feeling is gone and after the ecstatic experience has passed us by, then we have a tendency to go back in our own way. But now we must put away childish things and no longer think like a child. You see, a child says, I want that that tastes good, that that feels good, that that looks good. I want what I want. And the apostle here is saying, when I was a child, I done all those childish things, but now I am a man. I am called to decision. I am called to make up my mind. I am called to walk in the way of the Lord. I am called now to listen to the voice of Almighty God. And it is time you decide what you're really going to do. I want to talk to you about some of these decisions. First of all, you must decide whether to be a real Christian or not. Not just because mom and dad taught you how to be. Some of you are here in camp this week because mom and dad said, we're Church of God and this is Church of God camp, and you're going. It's true. Some of you go to church every Sunday and sit on the back pew and fold your arms. Listen to me back there. Fold your arms and say, I'm here because mom and dad made me be here. The pastor expected me to be here. And you get in a humdrum and you're bored with the whole thing and you're upset with the whole thing. It's time that you stop being childish. It's time that you stop really being immature. God judges you now as an adult. He sees that ability for you to choose, and you must decide if you're going to be a real Christian or not. Not just getting in one because everybody else is getting in. Not singing just because everybody else is singing. Not praying because everybody else is praying, but really hearing not just the voice of the preacher or the voice of the evangelist or the voice of the singer, but hear ye the voice of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. You see, God does speak, and he does beckon, and he does invite, and he does know you. He knows you're coming out, up, going out, you're rising up, you're lying down. He knows everything about you. No matter how serious you may be or how serious you may not be, God's serious with you, and it's time for you to decide if you're going to be a real Christian or not. Let me tell you something. It's easy to sit back and watch everybody else and criticize while they're struggling and trying to make it. Any old dead fish can float downstream. Come on. It doesn't take a lot of life to be like everybody else. When everybody else is doing drugs, it's not very hard to do drugs, is it? When everybody else is taking a drink, it's not hard to take a drink. When everybody else decides to take a smoke of pot or cigarettes, you know, it's not hard to do it when everybody else is doing it. Or if everybody else is sitting back saying, we're not going to serve God this month, we're going to wait till next month. It's not hard to sit with the group and sit on the back pew and fold your arms and be stubborn and dilatory and not go along. But oh, I'm going to tell you, it takes something. Oh, from the throne of Almighty God and a backbone in men and women. I'm talking about men and women. I'm not talking about little boys and girls. I'm talking about those that are mature, those that have put away childish things, those that don't think like a child, those that don't talk like a child anymore. They have decided, as for me and my house and my future, I must serve the Lord. No matter what anyone else does, I must give him my heart. For he says, son, daughter, give me thine heart. You can give him your talent and it won't work. You can give him your money and it won't work. You can give him your time and it won't work. Until you give him your heart, until you give him your thoughts, until you give him your mind, until you give him your soul. Oh, when you give him all of you, just like you are, you'll stand up and be different, and you have to be alive to go against the current. Hallelujah. Some of you have heard me share before, and I want to share it again tonight. For 2 years, I worked on a double lockup psych ward. You haven't seen sin till you worked in a place like that. And if you think the devil's just after the old, it was full of the young. And you churchgoers that can sit and listen to message after message, you see, this is what God's dealt with me about this week. So many of these kids have heard messages, Brother Scott, again and again and again. They know every song. They know the routine. They know when the offering's going to be taken. They know what the pastor's going to do next. They go through the routine and they just sit there and it doesn't faze them one bit. And I want you to know the psych ward was full of church-going kids. The psych ward was full of Sunday school kids that got on the bus and went to church, Pentecostal kids, Church of God kids, yes, even preachers' kids. Why? Because they had never really made up their mind to serve God for themselves. They look good in front of the crowd. They look good in front of the preacher. They look good in front of mom and dad. They obeyed the rules when it was convenient, but in their heart was far from God. With their mouth they said one thing, but with their heart they said another. But it's time for you to decide now. You're not a child anymore. God don't excuse you. The preacher don't excuse you. No one excuses you. You see, you're old enough now that you must decide if you're really going to be a real Christian or not. It's your time of decision. Another thing I want you to decide on is just how much you're going to be influenced by others. Your friends will laugh you into hell, honey. They'll never laugh you out. They'll laugh you into trouble and leave you when you're down and out. I got real perturbed the other day. I was talking to a lady who had come out of deep sin, and I rebuked her without even realizing what I was doing. She began to talk about how the world was so loyal to one another. And she didn't find that in Christianity. And before I thought what I was saying, I said, well, I don't know where you've been going to church and what kind of Christians you've been around, but don't let it ever be said that the world's crowd is more loyal than the church of the living God. I want to tell you something. When you get in the real flow of the Spirit and get the real touch of God on your life, you won't be influenced by the world. And what someone says to you, the voices of the world, you'll not hear, but you'll listen for a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And I want you to know that we're loyal to one another. We're loyal to the cross. We're loyal to Jesus. We're loyal to the Holy Ghost. He's real. Hallelujah. And we're only influenced by others. The number one problem I talk with young people again and again is, if only my friends give me a breather. If they'd only let me up for air. If only my friends wouldn't somehow get me in trouble. But when you decide that you really want to live for God as a man and as a woman, nothing will turn you around. You see, the problem is, if you're one of those that's in and out, up and down, you're saved and then you're backslid, you're at the altar, you know, every revival, and you feel like you're struggling and you can't make it, it's because you have not really decided once and for all to follow Jesus. It's the only reason. You can blame it onto your friends. You can blame it onto mom and dad. You can blame it onto everyone else. You can blame it onto the church. You can blame it on everything around you. But the real reason, friend, is you're not a child anymore. You are an adult, and God is telling you to be a man and telling you to be a woman and stand up and decide if you're going to be influenced by those round about you, or are you going to hear the voice of God? See, you must put away childish things, spiritually speaking. You must not think like a child anymore. We have a tendency, you say, Sister Betty, you sound like you're hard on young people. No, I'm honest with them. We have a tendency to pat them on the back and say, well, they're young. Yes, they're young and they're strong. Come on. They're made out of good stuff. They're strong. They've got ability. They can keep going when we've dropped in our tracks. They've got determination like you've never seen before. If they want to win a ball game, Brother Golden, they'll stay out there until they win it. If they want to swim across the pool 10 times, they'll die making the 10th lap. I'm going to tell you, there's a stamina in them, and God challenges that strength. God challenges that stamina. God challenges that determination, and he says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Oh, it's your decision time now. You can't put it off anymore. You can't say, I'm young and I don't understand and I'm having troubles. No, no, no. He's a big God. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll heal you. Oh, he'll put your feet upon the solid rock. You must decide. You see, when my children were little, I decided when they were going to church. I decided what they were going to do. I decided what they were going to eat. I decided if they was going to children's church or not. But I'm one mother that'll tell you real quickly. They're at an age now, Kevin, where I can maybe make them do some things. But I got enough sense to know I cannot make them serve God. They are adults now. They must decide that. Sometimes when young people slip and fall, we'll look at the mom and dad and we'll say, oh, what'd they do wrong? Their child wouldn't be in this mess if that mom and dad, oh, that's a lie from the pits of hell. For you now are at the age when you'll decide, no matter what mom and dad's taught you, come on, no matter how strong they've been, you'll decide now. You'll decide now. I get a little sick of it being thrown off on mom and dad and on the preachers and on the churches. You see, you're adult now. You must make an adult decision. Oh, if the preacher would just do different. No, it's your decision. If mom and dad would just do different. And I'm not throwing off on any of you here because God's ready to help you in your problems and your trials. But you see, because of some of the troubles that came last night, some of the prayer requests that came around this altar, I say this with all sincerity. You cannot lose out with God because of troubles in your home. You cannot quit living for God because mom and dad don't want to pay the price. You can't quit living for God because you can't get along at home. It's no more of that. You see, you're now at the age when you must decide. No matter what comes or goes, no matter what mom and dad says, no matter what my friends think, I have decided to be a Christian, and I'm not going to let others around me influence me. That's a hard one. And then you must decide to do right no matter how you feel. I've learned one thing about young people. They go on feeling. If you don't believe it, go to a rock concert sometime. Make it a Christian rock if you got to go to one, at least. They go on feeling. If you can get them feeling a certain way, they can turn the world upside down. They'll turn it over. That's why you said what you said. They can turn their community upside down. How many of you turned on the news here a while back and saw the thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that one little small group in Chicago raised for the Ethiopians that were starving? Not only did they raise it, they sent two delegates to get on the plane, sent them to Ethiopia, get off the plane with the grain, ride on the trucks, and make sure that their grain got to the starving, just a group of young people, because they got the feeling of a starving nation. But all that doesn't work in living for God. It helps to have the feeling. I like to feel good. I like to shout. I like to jump up and down. I like to feel the blessing. blessing of the Lord. But young man, young woman, let me tell you, there's going to be a time when you won't feel one thing. There's going to be a time, if there's any feeling at all, it's going to be a sad feeling. It's going to be a depressed feeling. It's going to be a heartache of a feeling. There's going to be times when nothing is going to go right. Everything will go wrong for your adversary, the enemy. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows you by name too. He knows where you live. He knows what gets to you. He knows what rubs against the grain. And he's ever lying in wait so he can pounce on you. And the first thing he'll take from you, young people, is your feeling, because he knows you're motivated by feeling. But oh, I want you to know, we serve a God that whether we feel it or not, he's on the throne. Whether we feel it or not, he hears us when we pray. Whether we feel it or not, he knows us, and his word is forever settled in heaven. And you must make up your mind, you're going to serve God whether you feel it or not. I want you to let that point sink in, if you don't let any other sink in. Because some of you, when you leave this camp, the first thing the devil's going to do is attack your feeling. He's going to attack that good blessing that you got up here. Somebody that's bothered you, that's talked about you and run you down, you can be sure if that person hasn't got prayed through this week while you're at camp, they're going to talk about you when you get back to your church, and they're going to probably do it twice as hard, because the devil knows that you got a double blessing and he's going to have to work overtime to get to you. That person that's never liked you, unless they've got prayed through while you're at camp, they're going to dislike you even more. Come on. The things that have bugged you and bothered you and set you on your ear all the time, it's going to be working overtime when you get back to your churches, when you get away from the crowd. You see, there's a strength in crowd. There's strength in unity. There's strength when there's a whole crowd together. You know, the devil's a big chicken. He's a big scaredy cat. He waits till you get alone. He waits till there's no one around. He waits till there's no one to pray. Then he comes in with his depression and his fears and his doubts, tell you you didn't get anything, you didn't receive anything, you didn't feel anything, and no one really loves you anyway, and all the things that he can tell you. But oh, I'm going to tell you, whether you feel it or not, make up your mind at this altar before you leave here this week. I'm going to live for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these other things that you long for and search for will be added unto you. And I want to talk to you like young people. Do you know that if you seek God first, he'll give you the right girlfriend? Did you know if you seek God first, he'll give you the right boyfriend? Did you know if you seek God first, he'll give you the right job? Did you know if you seek God first, he'll give you the right best friend? If you seek God first, he'll open doors that man has shut. If you seek God first, he'll talk to you when no one else will talk to you. If you seek God first, he'll walk with you when no one else will walk with you. If you seek God first, he'll love you when no one else will love you. Oh, if you seek God first, he'll touch you when no one else will touch you. If you seek him first, he'll be there when no one else is there. For he said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you. Even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. But you've got something to do. You must decide. Are you going to seek him? Are you going to follow him? There's a little song we sing that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The person that's laughing at you on the left, ridiculing you, putting you down for serving God, they're doing it because they don't have the strength to do it themselves. And it bugs them to no end to see someone else successfully make it. Come on. You can't make it just because the church of God says make it. You can't make it just because you obey the rules. Come on. You can't make it just because you go to church all the time. You must have an experience on the inside. Well, Sister Betty, how do I hold on to this experience? How do I hold on to what I get at camp? How do I make it? Don't let one day go by, but what you pick up is precious word, and you read it and feed it into your soul, and you talk to him just like you would talk to your best friend. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him. Say, hey, God, I'm having it rough. The devil's on my trail. He's doing so-and-so to me. So-and-so won't let me up for air. This one over here is getting me down. I'm having a hard time making it. Now, God, I really don't want to leave you. I mean, talk to him like you would talk to somebody else that you know real well. Don't ever let a day go by. If some of you talk to your best friend like you talk to God, you wouldn't have a best friend. If your best friend came around and you didn't pay any more attention to them than you do to God, they'd drop you after a while. And day after day after day goes by and we don't talk to him. But when we get in trouble, we start saying, oh God. When things get too heavy for us, we start saying, oh God. Plain and simple. Don't sit and wonder, how am I going to make it? Don't sit and wonder, what am I going to do if this and that and the other comes up? Just simply decide right now, this moment, this instant, no matter what comes or goes, no matter who influences me or tries to influence me, no matter how I feel, no matter what is around me, over me, under me, makes no difference. I have made up my mind. You see, now, little juniors, we can see them making up their mind and maybe having a struggle, but not you anymore. Come on. You see, sitting in this church, our future clerks, sitting in this church, our future treasurers, sitting in this church, our future men's leaders, sitting in this church, our future ladies' directors, sitting here tonight is future youth leaders. Sitting here tonight is those that God wants to call into his ministries, future missionaries, future whatever God may have for you to do. And he's through playing games with you now, young people. You can't slop around serving God. You can't be messy serving God. You can't take a chance. How many of you go out and say, well, I know I'm sinning and I shouldn't do this, but I'll go back to church Sunday and I'll ask God to forgive me and he'll forgive me. I'm going to go ahead and do it. God is pulling the string on you tonight. And he's saying, childish. Childish. Put away childish things. That's childish thinking. A little girl says, I know mommy told me not to do it, but mommy loves me and I'm going to go back later and mommy's going to forgive me. And mommy does, because she knows she's little and immature. But no more. Now you'll take responsibility for your own actions. Mom and dad will not be held accountable for the majority of you here anymore. You will be accountable for your own decision. And the Holy Spirit has already said, he searched for you, he's looked for you, he's called you, and he's bid you to come. Oh God, which way are you going to decide? The decisions that you make right now in this time of your life, many of them will last you a lifetime. And mistakes that you make right now, the scars of those mistakes have the ability to last a lifetime. You're not careful. For you are now considered young men and young women in the eyes of God. And we must put away childish things. I love you. but we must put away childish things. God loves you, but you must put away childish things. You say, oh, you want to grow up so bad? There's a responsibility with growing up. Remember what Mom and Dad said? You're responsible now for your own room, your clothes, for doing all these things growing up. God is saying, you are responsible for my son dying on the cross of Calvary. And it's no longer those around you, but it's you and God. And God and you, and I want you to take a trip by Calvary tonight, because you'll never make it until you go by Calvary. I want the musicians to come and play very softly, but I want to tell you something. I want to talk very plain to you. Some of you have walked by the Church of God. You've walked by the church membership. Listen to me now. You've walked by the practical teachings. Some of you know exactly what they are. You can quote them. Some of you know the minute book better than you know the Word of God. You've cut your teeth on it. But you've never walked by Calvary. You've never really decided once and for all, no more of this in and out stuff for me, God. No more of this slopping around. No more this grieving the Holy Spirit and offending Him. I've decided, God, tonight, right now, I'm going to serve You. You see, I don't want to see you leave this camp and come back next year and you have to go through being saved all over again. That's the desire of my heart, Brother Scott, is that the ministry of the Word accomplishes something that lasts. If anything that disturbs me, Brother Francis, at all about evangelizing is going from church to church, and next year that same church will have me back and I'll go back and the same people. I know this won't make you shout. This is not a message that will make you whoopla. No. We can't shout till we have something to shout about. We can't praise Him until we get it down here, honey. We got to live this thing. The same people, young people as well as older ones, the same ones hit the altar with the same problems, the same tears, the same griping, the same groaning. And you prayed them through maybe 6 months before, and you thought they were really going to make it, and it didn't last. You know why? They went by the altar. They went by the book. They went by the pastor. They went by the rule. They went by the practical teachings. They done everything everybody else wanted them to do, but they didn't go by Calvary, and they didn't make up their mind they were going to serve God no matter what. I'm challenging you in the name of the Lord to decide to serve God. Not for my sake. Not for Mom and Dad's sake. Not for the church's sake. But for your own soul's sake. For your future. Do you know that if you're not covered by the blood tonight, you're open to the powers of Satan? Do you know that every demon of hell has been loosed upon this earth? Do you know that demons are real? Do you know that they have a personality? But demons can only live in a form like another man or another woman. Do you know that? So they're ever looking for a resting place. And if you're out from underneath the blood, and Christian young people that are backslid or halfway in and half out, you're prime targets. You are. You are prime targets for the enemy to take you over. And even the devil doesn't consider you a child anymore. Do you hear me? Even the devil doesn't consider you a child anymore. And he doesn't cheat fair. He's going to throw very mature, grown-up temptations your way. And without your deciding to follow God, it's plain and simple, you won't make it. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Counselors, I want you to pray. Young people that are living for God, I want you to pray. It's my desire for this camp to end up with a glory, hallelujah, praise. But more than that, it's my desire that you make up your mind to live for God, that you be sold out to Him, that you decide even when you leave here and you get away from the Christian influence, you're going to go on no matter how you feel, no matter what's around about you.